This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Dave, for this introduction. You are listening to the Christian War Room, and you can get hold of us at the website, which is www.christianwarroom.com. All the talks are here. Today we are playing the last talk of Eben Thranholm in this series, which, is it the last one? Yeah, it's the last one, actually, yeah. The previous talks were talk number 67 and talk number 66, and this talk is going to be number 68, and you can find it on the website. So you just go to christianwarroom.com, you go to audio, and you just scroll down. Yeah. So anyway, that's where all the other talks are if you want to hear the previous talks as well. I apologize for the quality of the audio. It's not that good, and I'm quite surprised as well. I've followed Steve Ciccolanti quite some time, and he's a very switched-on guy. So I would have thought that when he got Eben Thranholm for the interview that he would have had a better chance of sorting the audio out, but maybe something has gone wrong. Nevertheless, even though it's not easy on the ear, it's certainly worthwhile to listen to what she is saying. Now, there are a lot of strongholds which set themselves up against the knowledge of God. There are a lot of lies which are in the world right now. Now, Dale Gentry, I listened to one of his talks, and he used to say, when he was praying about this whole thing, that deception runs deep. And we find this in the world, that there is a very deep deception, and that people, you know, they don't know anymore. They're sort of just like a leaf in the wind blown from one corner to the other. They haven't got any standards anymore. They don't know whether to turn to the right or to the left. They're totally clueless. And that is a big, big problem. That is a big, big problem. So, again, where are we as Christians? We are failing. We are failing our nations. We are failing our generation. Why? Because we are not giving them what they are really asking for. They are asking for stability. They are asking for clear concepts. They are asking for a very clear definition of what we should do and what we shouldn't do. Okay, what we have found in Germany recently is that a lot of ethnic Germans are converting to Islam. And again, when you look at this religion, it's very anti-whatever Germany stands for. So it's anti-tolerance, yeah, because, you know, Islam has got this viewpoint of, you know, there is only one way, and that is Islam. That is the way Muhammad has described. And to be fair, I mean, we as Christians, we're in the same boat. We say there's only one way, and that way is Jesus Christ, and there's no other way. Islam, one way, and that is the Quran, and that is Muhammad. Yeah, so that's what they say. Then once you, you know, you turn to Islam, your whole life is ruled by something which is called Sharia, which is a bit like the Old Testament law, but a little bit more violent, a little bit more radical than that. And so they've got like all these rules of regulations and regulations which are defined through the Quran and through the so-called Hadith. They describe the life of Muhammad, and it's just a big, huge area of books. And but the thing is, it's very black and white. Yeah? And that is what people want. They know what is good, and they know what is bad because the Quran tells them so. And it's a black and white thing. Now we look at Christianity, and we look what's been happening in Christianity over the last 20, 30 years. So if you look at the broad spectrum of Christianity, we have some sort of wishy-washy message which has been pushed out to the nations. Yeah, be nice, be lovely, you know, anything goes, you know, there are many ways to Rome. You can go this way or that way as long as you believe in something, that's okay. You can do this, you can do that, and if you, you know, fall foul of that one, that's okay, don't worry about it, because God is this lovely kind of guy up in the sky, and we don't have to worry about anything as long as you, you know, as your heart is in the right place and you've got the right intentions, you will be okay. And that is a lot of hogwash. there's a very clear call in the Bible, in the New Testament. And Jesus said that somebody, you know, puts his hands to the plow and looks back is not worthy for the kingdom of God. Somebody who loves his wife, his children, his mother, his family more than Jesus is not worthy for the kingdom of God. Jesus says there's only one way, and that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to God except through him. And this comes at a cost as well, and this comes at a cost that God puts a claim on your life. Jesus knocks on the door of your heart, and when you let him in, you have to let him in full-heartedly. It's not just you open the door, shake the hands, and say, oh, it's very nice to know you, Jesus, but I'm kind of busy, I need to do this, that, and the other. No, it's wrong. You need to invite him into your heart, and you need to allow God to take residence in your heart through the Holy Spirit, and even more, to even take control. And that is the hardest thing we are going through, you know, as Christians. We are going through. It's a struggle. It's a really big struggle we are going through, but it's a radical thing, and we need to be prepared to be a wholehearted Christian, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And that is a toughie. It's a real, real toughie. And don't you be kidding me, it's very difficult, because we fail in this on a daily basis. But that's what we need to aim for. That's what we need to aim for. And the wider church doesn't understand this. The priests, the pastors in the wider church, they are just doing and preaching some wishy-washy gospel, some you know, liberal agenda kind of be nice and good and all will be fine. And we are not sure, you know, where and what God really is, because the Bible is just a fairy tale book. This is the stuff they are telling you. Obviously not in those words, but this is where they're coming from. Now, let me tell you, the Bible is the word of God. When you understand the Bible and when you look between the lines and you see what is in there, you can see that there is a very strong code, that God has created a book which is safe even with transmission errors through the generations, and the message is still contained and encoded in there. And we need to see this, we need to read it, and we need to take it to heart. There are so many mysteries in the Bible, it is impossible that this book has been written by man. We can see the finger of God in this book, and it's very, very important to always remember this. There is power in the Word of God. There's great power in the Word of God. When Jesus was tempted, he was quoting Scripture. Nothing else, he was just quoting Scripture. And we need to take it as serious as what Jesus did when he was tempted, when he was here on earth. Okay, so we need to rise up. We need to be buckled with a belt of truth. We need to proclaim truth to a generation that's been lied to from cradle to grave, literally. We need to break in this cycle from cradle to grave and let these people know what the truth is. And they either accept it or they reject it. When Jesus is knocking on the door of their heart, they either lock the door and put the deadlocks on, or they open the door and they let him in. But that is their decision. That's not our decisions. Our job is to preach the truth and to let them know the truth. Okay, we are going to the next talk by Steve Cioccolanti and Eben Thranholm. So that's the last talk, and we're going to move on with a different subject here in our war room. So stay tuned here at BPN Radio and Seismic Radio, and enjoy the war room.
This leftist feminist, third wave feminism, I call it, has really turned its back on women, has betrayed women. They're welcoming an ideology that is completely antithetical to equality. And women are abused from a young age, can be married off at the age of 9, according to the Quran, and, you know, can have their clitoris, you know, circumcised, can be beaten as the husband has a right to do that. I mean, on and on and on. They cannot drive, has to cover themselves with a burqa. And yet it's the feminists, the left, that welcome this. And, you know, people know me as an end-time Bible prophecy teacher, and I want to say that the Bible predicted that this would be a scenario in the end time. And it's in Revelation 17 where the woman rides the beast. The woman rides the beast only for a while. The woman is obviously the feminism that's creeped in, and the beast is this political Islam. And we saw that through the WikiLeaks, through Vault 7, and we see how, you know, had Clinton won, my goodness, her ties run so deep to Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the money she was getting from the Beast. She was one of the women riding the Beast. And you see all these feminist mayors in Europe that no matter how many bombings go on, they don't think the solution is a Christian revival or, you know, spiritual, they don't think of the spiritual battle. They just think, again, that these people, these migrants are cheap votes for them, you know, and they won't turn them away because all they're looking at is that political side, that the statistics show that immigrants and poor people tend to vote left. So why would you want to get rid of them? They defend them no matter what, at the cost of the babies that are being killed, the people that are being butchered, you know, people are being beheaded. It is really insane, but it is in the Bible. The woman that rides the beast is really a scenario that Christians need to be aware of. And I want to thank you as a woman that you're really, to me, you're speaking up for women. You know, you are for, you're a woman speaking up for women, and we really need more of that.
Yeah, but I also see how feminism here has destroyed women by completely taking away the dignity of motherhood. And that's something here in Denmark, because a lot of people here are young women, and also myself, we were taught that we should first of all focus on our career and get an education so we could be independent from a man to have our own lives. And we are the generation that was really, I think we have been cheated somehow, because too late in life, me and many of my friends, we discovered that the real, I mean, dignity of being a woman is to have children and to be a mother. And there is so much joy in being a mother. And here, I mean, women are torn apart between the natural, I would say, instinct being mothers and this ambition for a career and to be independent. So many women are not very happy. I think there was a survey that said that every fourth woman in Denmark is about to have some kind of, you know, stress breakdown. And I don't think it's because that she's overworked. I think it's because of identity problems, that she doesn't really know whether she should be a full-time mother or she should just be a career woman. And it's very hard on women. And also, the children are suffering a lot because they're put up in here in Denmark. You would go to the kindergarten in the morning around 7, 8 with your child, and only pick it up around 4 or 5 in the afternoon. It's a long day for a little child. So this is actually a kind of socialism we have, that the state, that also the state will educate your child. And I think that this is also thanks to the feminists, and they have broken up the family. And many women are not living very happy lives. Of course, it's good for a woman to be able to decide for herself whether she wants an education and be on her own, or she wants to have a family. But a lot of people are struggling to have both. And I would just wish that politicians would make it give more privileges to mothers so that they could be off work for a longer time. But that's another discussion.
You know, when I travel around, I read these articles. Usually they're put out by the Associated Press, the New York Times. These guys control what people are fed. And they're always putting down Asian culture. And they will say the women are not participating in the workforce enough. You know, they'll measure these Asian countries on based on their values of how many women are getting university degrees, how many women are in the workforce, how many women are at the top levels of corporations. And so I asked some of the Asian ladies, I say, well, you know, this is the debate going on. They want to push, again, Western colonialism, you know, it's in a different form. They want to now push ideology on Asia. And so many of the women say to me, in Asia, it's not our priority. We like being mothers. We like being at home. And so I think the important thing is, of course, if people have the choice, then that's true equality. What we want is real equality, not fake equality, not enforced, you know, feminism thrusted upon us. So it's, yeah, the West is not only crumbling, but it's trying to take the whole world down with it, with its broken ideology divorced from Christianity. So
But they are trying to build a world where they have completely destroyed and overturned God's order, even down to the gender now, where you a girl or a boy is not anymore just a girl or a boy. I mean, in Spain right now there is a kind of you know, cultural war where a Catholic organization has driven around with a bus where it just said boys have penises and girls have vulvas, and those pro-transgender people, they have just, it's just a huge outcry and called this bus the bus of shame, and it has been taken off the road. So it's a kind of, you know, it's just a biological fact, but that is now perceived as hate crimes or hate speech, just to say what is God's order, and God created us as men and women. And this is an offense now to a lot of people. So it's a crazy world. I mean, it's completely turned upside down. And I think what they want to have a new world order where everything God has created is, they have recreated in a completely reverse culture where everything is against God. It is a total rebellion against God. This is what it's about. It's really not a political fight. It's about rebellion against God, which you could say it might be the end of times, it might be Antichrist or the forerunner for the Antichrist. Because I don't think that Antichrist is just one person. It could be a whole culture, it could be a spirit that would sort of, you know, try to influence a lot of institutions and a lot of people on different levels. And we see clearly that this is anti-Christian, it's anti-God, because they simply don't want to accept the order that God created the world in. So I think it's quite clear that this is a total rebellion against everything created by God.
I just want to say how delightful, how wonderful it is to have someone like you in Europe. And I hope that you're not ever going to be discouraged. And if you are, you give us a shout. We're going to pray for you and support you. But, you know, Europe needs you. I'm sure Russia would take you, but, you know, Europe needs you. And keep going and keep doing what you're doing. I'd like you to pray for Europe, and we'll agree with you. But before that, can you tell us the different avenues where people can find you? And, you know, I know you're really waging a spiritual warfare by telling the truth to people. So where can people find your information?
Well, the best thing is to go on Facebook and just type my name. I have maxed out with friends, but people can leave me a note and I will get it and I will write back. And then also my Twitter account, which is also my name. And there I normally post things almost every day.
I just checked it out. I just saw your Twitter account.
I'm sorry?
I said I just saw your Twitter account. I was just checking it.
Yes. And so I post a lot of things. So that's the probably the easiest way to follow my work, and to also, if people want to leave a note, I always really appreciate when people send me a note, because it gives me an idea what people are, how people react and what they think, and it also gives me an idea in which direction to go next and which problem I should talk about and what is needed. So please, I mean, if you have any comments or ideas or just support, I mean, it's really important that we are supporting each other, because we are in a sort of global network, I could say. We are a global family, so we need to support each other. And right now here in Europe, it can be a little bit lonely, because I don't have a lot of colleagues, so to say, around me. But I feel a lot of support from, you know, the global audience, and that really strengthened me a lot to know that people are with me and that we are united in this battle, all of us, all around the world.
Do you think the national movements are going to win, like Marine Le Pen in France? Do you think that there is a wave of a counter-revolution against this leftist indoctrination?
I'm not sure that if we're going to see the same people's movement as we did just recently with Trump in the United States. I think that in Europe people are more mind-controlled and intimidated by the leftists, and they have more hesitation. But of course there are a lot of people right now and especially after what happened in London the other day, that that really are very, very tired, and they really want changes. But I'm afraid that the national parties in Europe, they're not gonna change much, because they only have the political solutions, and that's not enough. They need a Christian foundation. They really need a Christian morality to build from or to work from. And I think the problem is that the national movements, they're very good at telling no. And they can really define in negative terms what they don't want. They always define what they don't want.
Right.
But the problem is they cannot define in a positive term what they really want. What should replace secularism and also radical Islam? They have no clue. And that's why I could fear that they would turn extremists, or they just can't hold, because they also would crumble, because it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it doesn't really help just to close the borders, because a lot of those people who are committing terror is actually already living here, and they are second generation immigrants. So it means that they're actually part of this country. So if they don't go back to the Christian faith, if they don't work together with the church or Christian people, and they start to understand the need of morality and spirituality, I don't think they're going to win. I don't think they're going to defeat what they would like to defeat. That's the tragic thing of it. They have the will, and they're very determined to change things, but I'm sure it takes more than just closing the borders and just trying to make more restrictions. So that's why we should pray for them and try to influence them and tell them that if they don't come back to the Christian roots in Europe, they're probably not going to make it.
They need Jesus. They need Jesus. Yes. No matter how we turn, you need Jesus Christ. And
people really need his strength, because this is, like I said before, it is an evil of diabolical dimension. So you can't fight that on your own.
Well, on that note, would you please pray and show us how to pray for your country and your continent, and we'll be with you. And then I just want to ask you one more thing, but please pray for us.
Jesus Christ, we pray in your name to be able to, first of all, that you will give us the discernment, the right discernment, what we should do in this situation, how we should proceed, what we should pray for. And we pray for your strength, and we ask you also on behalf of our nations to forgive our sins. And we pray for that the Holy Spirit will enter people's lives and will make them repent and convert and come back to you. We ask you in your name to save Europe from all evil. And we ask you to cover us with your precious blood, so that no evil can enter our homes, and no evil can destroy our culture and kill our children and the next generations. We ask really that there will be a huge revival in our churches, that you will send your Holy Spirit, so people would see the truth. There is a war on truth also. Mm. It's very difficult for people to distinguish between good and evil. So we ask you, Jesus, to give us this discernment so we can see what is the truth. Mm. And that I pray really that you would open up the eyes, especially of the young people, so that they will come back to you.
Yes.
And first of all, they will have an experience of your love, and that you love each of us, and that it's only your intimate love that can save us, and not democracy, and not political ideas or ideologies. So Jesus Christ, I ask that you will send your Holy Spirit to Europe, and you will save us. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
That was Eben Threnholm and Steve Ciculanti. Amazing talk. Again, I apologize for the poor audio quality. I try to sort of fish it out, and it's very difficult sometimes. You get the audio truck, and there's a little bit of hissing and all sorts of other stuff in there. Nevertheless, I think the points both of them made were really, really important, and we need to take this to heart. I mentioned at the beginning of the talk, you can tune in and listen again to this talk at the website christianwarroom.com, and this particular talk is going to be the Christian War Room series part 68. Yeah. 67 and 66 are the talks, you know, the previous talks before this. So I try to split them up into 20-minute sections. And anyway, feel free to go to the website to listen to it again, or, you know, just YouTube them. Eben Thranholm and Steve Ciculanti, I'm sure if you put it into YouTube, it'll just come up with this talk straight away, and you can see the pictures as well. Okay, Christian War Room, very important. You need to make up your own Christian War Room. You need to pray about it, to seek God on behalf of your nation, and to see how you can make an impact. And again, it may not necessarily be the masses to impact, but it may just be to draw out the individual. The danger of this talk is that you might think it's very anti-migrant and anti, you know, Islamophobic and so on. Let me assure you, we are not anti-migrant. We love them. You know? As simple as that. We want to reach out to them. And we are not Islamophobic. We love the Muslims. And we want to reach out to them as well. We want them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we want them to come to the realization that, you know, the Jesus of the Bible is somewhat different to the Isa in the Quran. And that the Jesus in the Bible has got real power, that he can hear, that he does hear their prayers, and that he does save, and that he does heal and renew hearts and bring about new beginnings. There is great hope in Jesus Christ, and a lot of Muslims in the Middle East, there's a bit of a revival going on at the moment. They realize this, and they are turning away from their traditional religion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's very, very important to sort of bear this in mind. So we don't hate them. We love them. You know? And we want to reach out to them as well. We want them to come to us, to come to our churches, and to come to, or even make up their own churches, you know. Muslims for Jesus, or former Muslims for Jesus. Okay, I'm gonna stop at this point. I just want to pray, and then encourage you to go to the website to listen to the whole talk, to listen to other talks as well. Lord, we just want to praise you. We want to praise you for Eben Thranholm and for the wisdom and the insights she has had. And we praise you, Lord, that you've got journalists like that working for a government broadcaster in Denmark. And we just pray, Father, for your protection. We pray for your protection upon this lady, that you will surround her with angels, that when she is attacked from the right and from the left and from the center, Lord, that she is surrounded by your shield, by your hedge, by your angels, Lord, that nothing can come near her. We pray, Lord, that your protection will be upon her life. We pray, Lord, give her comfort as well, Lord, and give her strength to carry on our work and to reach out and to speak truth into a generation and into a media that is filled with lies and deception. We pray, Lord, that you will open her understanding, that you will open her opportunities to speak out, and that, Lord, that you will bless her outreach in an amazing way. Strengthen her and comfort her and encourage her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to christianwarroom.com. That's christianwarroom.com.